Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I can tell you where all the reps have gotten us here right now on Janae and Golic Jr. A year into this show, last segment, you heard me in the last hour eat cake on air so much I drooled and almost choked on it. Call Harry Douglas, who's a good friend of mine and a former Falcons wideout who joined us, Roddy White, in the middle
of
the segment.
And
actually come out here, and as Amber Wilson, who is graciously hanging out with us and co-hosting today, pointed out, began negotiating on my own behalf on air in a way that's probably not going to help.
He can't muster that up.
So it's all in all, Amber, so far today, been a winner. Thank you for being the only redeeming quality of this show.
I'm here for you, although I wasn't really here for you during that debacle of a last segment, because I felt like I probably could have said, I mean, behind the curtain, there was another follow-up question that we had discussed off-air that you were going to follow up and ask, and then you forgot it. It was very obvious you were drowning in the moment, and I could see it happening in real time on the Zoom that we're on, and I just kind of let you out there drowning because I didn't know if I should throw you the life preserver. So I don't know if I'd been the best teammate, but I was here for your cake eating. I'm still in impressed by that, honestly, but I think that has kind of thrown off the entire show. It's like a sugar rush. Gotten to you.
You know what? That's what I'm going to blame it on. It has no doubt been the focus of today, because hell, I live for anniversaries because they mean cake. That is a time-honored tradition in my family, and so Amber, I'm going to try and regain focus until I walk back into the hallway and grab more of this cake. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We may have stumbled a little bit in our training camp preview for the Falcons. We'll do better when we hit the Saints coming up in a little bit as that rolls along. But Amber, so much of what we talked about with the Falcons looking into this preseason was what people already think they missed out on. Drafting their quarterback of the future. That player, guy they know well down in Georgia, in Justin Fields, now resides in Chicago. And that's where things get interesting, because we went through preseason one and Justin Fields got a lot of playing time in that game, looked pretty strong in that outfit. And so a lot of us thought, myself included, all right, this looks like it's supposed to be the guy. You drafted him because you were tired of drowning in mediocrity on that side. He's one of the higher drafted quarterbacks, one of the better prospects you've had around here in a while. But Bears coach Matt Nagy was asked about this, about the prospect of QB1, and about Andy Dalton, who was brought over with the regrettable graphic calling him QB1 earlier this offseason, and talked about Andy Dalton and what's to come in the future for this preseason.
Well, Andy had 6 plays, and yeah, it's hard to say much good or bad about that with the 6 plays. So we're going to get him some more snaps this coming preseason game. And then with Justin, I go back to what I said too. Like, we want to be able to see live plays, live situations. We got that. Justin had a lot of plays, and he did a great job in those plays he had. You know, whatever is best for the Chicago Bears is in the end what we're going to do.
So, Amber, he also went on to say that they want to see Justin Fields get more reps with the starters, with some of the better, more important receivers in that offense. So, where are you at on this one, based on what we've seen so far through one preseason game here, philosophically, about who should line up under center week 1 for the Bears?
Yeah, of course, you'd want to see him work with the first team. You'd want to see him work against the first team. I mean, we saw a great half from Justin Fields against the Dolphins in the first preseason game. Obviously, he wasn't facing all starters on that defense, but it was a great half. It gives you a lot of hope if you're a Chicago Bears fan. But these coaches have an off-season plan, Mike. And normally your off-season plan, when you have a vet, especially a vet that you brought in to provide that veteran presence, but when you have a vet and you have a rookie, your off-season plan is normally, hey, I'm going to start the vet, and then I'll transition to the rookie if the rookie shows promise. I don't know if a preseason game or a half of a preseason game is enough for you to deviate from that plan yet. I would imagine that when Nagy's telling you he needs to see more from both of his quarterbacks, he's being honest, because I think right now Andy Dalton's a starter. And could that plan change if Justin Fields continues to ball out? Of course, that's always going to be a fluid plan. I just don't know if it could possibly change yet. Like, I actually believe, I don't normally believe NFL coaches when they talk. It's a lot of coach speak, but I actually believe him that, hey, I need to see more. Right now, I'm going with the vet.
Amber, that's weirdly what gives me even more confidence in what I think could make Justin Fields the starter week 1. Because going into training camp every year, you're right, believing the coaches is the wrong way to go about this. Like, I don't care about what they say. I care about what we end up seeing, and what we heard intimated here was this idea that, hey, we need to see Justin Fields get more reps with guys like Allen Robinson, who's going to be one of our star receivers here, Tariq Cohen, all these different players. And so I heard you're getting more reps. Like, you go into every training camp and you start off with whatever group you're with, ones, twos, and threes, you're getting allocated certain reps at the beginning of camp. And all I was ever told was, you're trying to take those opportunities and just turn them into more chances here. If you're getting two reps a period to start, you got to ball out in those so that maybe in a week it becomes four reps. And you get more and more odds, more and more tickets to the lottery of trying to make that team. And so if Justin Fields' performance so far is now netting him more opportunities with those ones, Amber, I'd have to imagine that whether it's just in the preseason game or in private, because we've seen Lewis Riddick tweeting up a storm about him being one of the quarterbacks garnering a lot of praise this preseason, this to me is a positive sign that Justin Fields is checking all the right boxes for them so far.
I mean, the fact that Nagy wants to see him get all those reps that you just mentioned, and he specifically said he wants to see him against a first-team defense as well, because there's no tape for him to watch on how Justin Fields handles an NFL defense or runs an NFL offense. Like, you can't rely on that. And so all you've got is these preseason games, and all you've got is training camp and these practices, and that's what he's going to be evaluated on. I think that, yeah, you got to see more since you don't have that tape to rely on. Like, I don't believe his little comment that he didn't get to see much from Andy Dalton either. I mean, you got tape on that guy. Like, how much do you need to see from Andy Dalton? You know what you got there with Andy Dalton. What you don't know what you have is with Justin Fields. And so I do believe that there is an evaluation process. You can ignore, if you're the head coach, you can ignore the noise of the fans, because understandably the fans are excited, so they just want to see it now. Like, let's start this guy now. You can ignore that noise. It's when the noise picks up in the locker room, Mike, where the other players are saying, hey, why aren't we starting the rook, because he gives us a better chance here. That's when the sound can't be ignored.
Amber, you mentioned the noise in both of those spots, but how do you think Matt Nagy's own job status leaks into this? Like, this is a guy coming into this season on the hot seat. There's no doubt in Chicago, and I know there's a ton of different schools of thought about how a coach can maybe break glass in case of emergency when it comes to his first-round rookie quarterback, so we can say, look, I need more time with this guy. I can give everyone a laundry list of examples of where that has not worked out well for the coach, but do you think Matt Nagy's own loose grip on his job status kind of influences how he's got to play this?
But influences it how? Because I could argue it both ways. Because his job status isn't secure, then he goes with the vet, because the vet's more the sure thing. Or you could argue it the other way, like you just suggested, where because his job status isn't secure, we go ahead and go with the rookie with the promise of the future. Hey, I can make something of this if you let me continue down this path with the coaching staff that this kid's already comfortable with after a season. So you could kind of see that going either way in terms of his job status.
Yeah, between that and then the other factor that you brought up earlier, Amber, was the 17th game. Like, we've got a shorter preseason to make these decisions, but a longer regular season game here. Do you think any of that skews in favor of vets in any of the quarterback battles we're talking about?
I don't think it's just the shorter preseason. I think that it's the fact that we have gone through a pandemic where we had no preseason at all. And you saw, hey, we can still function as an NFL team without a preseason. You see it. I mean, it's not just the Sean McVays of the world now who are sitting all their key starters. We saw the Vikings do it in their first preseason game where there was like 21 guys that they didn't play in that game. A lot of these NFL teams now, I think, have come around to this idea. The preseason is more of an audition than it is a practice for the regular season. So we're kind of treating all preseason games now, it feels like we used to treat that fourth preseason game that we no longer have, where the dudes on the back end of the roster used to get evaluated, or your rookies used to get those opportunities. And you can see it just with our coverage here. I mean, all we've done here on air over the last few days is talk about really the rookies and how they performed, because that's the story of the preseason. I think that's a trend that's going to continue, where the first few then games of a lengthened regular season, I think, kind of becomes a bit like a preseason, where you're still working out some of the kinks in those first three, maybe even four regular season games.
It's so true, because it used to be that third NFL preseason game was the dress rehearsal for the starters. They'd go out there and get a whole half in, and the fourth preseason is, hey, the future Mike Golic Jr. radio host of the world, go out there and try and slug this thing out. But now we may see everyone punting almost entirely on that construct together. So Matt Nagy is saying Andy Dalton is still QB1, that Justin Fields is going to get more reps with the ones. Coming up next, we'll see if Bill Belichick gave us anything when it comes to the status of Mac Jones versus Cam Newton in their camp next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So if Matt Nagy and the Bears won't budge on QB1, surely Bill Belichick's going to give us something on the quarterback battle out in New England, right? Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Chinua Igbuka. We'll get to that in just a second here because we've got sound from both Patriot quarterbacks on the QB battle right now. Try and get a lead on who's got the edge there and who should be out on the field in week one. But Amber, before we get to that, a quarterback very near and dear to us around here today in Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL insider, asked a question earlier on Twitter that I wanted to ask you here because Dan put it out to the people and he asked what the most important quality in a friend is. If you had to pick one quality, the most important quality, because I will say this, Amber, I'll give you a minute to think about yours because I don't know if this is a quality, but I have maintained that if you don't cry watching the end of the movie Armageddon, you got to delete my contact info here because that should be instant tears for anyone that's got any sort of realistic soul. That just
really?
to me is kind of a deal breaker. Like, you know what? I might not fully delete your number, but I'm certainly going to look at you differently. And then if you were one of the people that, you know, like the normal humans in the world, cried at the end of one of the better movies of all time.
I'm a movie crier. I'm not a very emotional person generally. Like, I'm not somebody who's crying all the time, who's super sensitive, but I am a movie crier. Movies, entertainment, that gets to me. I cannot tell you whether I cried at the end of Armageddon. I have not seen that movie in so many years that I frankly hardly remember it. Like,
oh,
who was in Armageddon?
Harry, I love you. Oh, you've got Bruce Willis. You've got Ben Affleck in that movie. Liv Tyler is the female lead.
38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Steve Buscemi, don't let Cliff get in there. Great movie. Keep rolling the names out there, Mike.
I mean,
you got
listen,
this.
It's an all-star cast in this movie.
Isn't Owen Wilson in that as well?
You bet your buns he is. One of the more underrated Owen Wilson roles in there. You mentioned Steve Buscemi goes space crazy, I believe, at one point there.
Oh, that's right. He's riding a nuke.
42% on Metacritic.
See, we're going up.
And you know what? Again, permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man I have ever met. If you don't tear up a little bit at the end of that movie, Amber, maybe we'll get around to it when we rewatch here. Is there any like non-negotiable for you in a friendship like that? Because the only other quality I would posit is a friend who owns a boat. Because I don't want to be the guy that owns a boat, but if I got a friend that owns a boat, that's a pretty good friend.
I'm always the guy who owns the boat. I'm a big boater, obviously down here in Florida. So I like to be the guy, the friend who owns the boat, I suppose. But that is a good strategy because boats break. And so it is good to have a friend with a boat as opposed to actually being the boat owner. I don't know. I haven't really put any thought into this. I feel like this Dan Orlovsky tweet is asking for, you know, something like loyalty or, you know, something like that, that we all say. I like your strategy better, though, where the qualities that you're looking for aren't necessarily based on somebody's personality. I feel like it's a pretty low bar that you have set for your friends, though. Like, all you have to do is watch Armageddon and cry and, you know, maybe own a boat and you're good to go. You are forever more BFFs with Mike Golic Jr. I wouldn't say that I necessarily have a list like that. I mean, I look at people sideways who don't like dogs.
Fair. More than fair.
I look at people really sideways if you don't like pizza.
See, you know what? And again, but you talked about setting a low bar there is fine because those should be things to weed out like easy, like the serial killers. You don't want people on the other side of that that could cause danger to you or somebody close to you. So at AmberW790 and at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, oh, I don't want like character traits here. What's the one non-negotiable for you in a friendship with anybody here on Chinua Igbuka Jr.? Now, download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around the National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. All right, so we mentioned the sound from New England quarterbacks here. We got the battle going on between the vet Cam Newton in year two with the team and their first round pick at 15 overall, Mac Jones. So let's first hear from Cam about how he's viewing the competition so far.
Each and every day, I don't necessarily care about who's starting. I mostly care about, you know, making sure that I put the best product out there for me. And I know Mac is feeling the same way. I know Brian is feeling the same way and everybody else going down each and every position. So, you know, as far as week one, we got so much to worry about prior to week one. And that's what my focus is right now.
God love Cam Newton for being a great teammate and even mentioning Brian Hoyer in this conversation. Let's see if Mac Jones sheds any more light on this.
For me, honestly, I've always, you know, just been blessed to be a part of a team, and you never know when your time's going to come. So I'm just ready to keep working. Obviously, I have a lot of work to do, and that's very clear, but I'm going to keep working every day, and everything will just work out how it's supposed to play out.
All right, so since they're great Patriots and have already figured out how to not say anything, Amber, I'll ask you then. You thought that the situation in Chicago skewed in favor of the veteran. Is the one in New England any different?
Yeah, we talked about Justin Fields last segment. He got a standing O in Chicago when he made his debut. Mac Jones got the same standing O in Foxborough. Both of these fan bases are just desperate for the future, and they want these rookies to be the future. The thing is, though, when we're talking about Mac Jones, we're talking about the 15th overall pick. We're talking about the fifth quarterback taken in this draft. Fifth. I mean, this isn't Trevor Lawrence. This is the fifth quarterback taken now, and we're having a conversation about whether he should start day one of the NFL regular season. And I think the answer to that is no. I mean, we've heard Bill Belichick say so many times that Cam Newton is the starter. And now that they drafted Mac Jones, we all of a sudden don't believe it. I know Mac Jones at some point is probably going to get the start. Like, unless Cam really shocks us this season and looks like the Cam of old, then that is the direction that things, of course, are headed in New England. But kind of like the same situation in Chicago, even though I wish I had something different to say for the fan bases, I just don't see that decision being game one. Again, I think that the regular season, these first few games of the regular season, are going to be kind of treated like a traditional preseason used to be. We're in a lengthened regular season now with 17 games. I think that these teams are going to take some time making that transition. I could see Cam being there. Maybe he's starting until after Tom Brady comes to town, and then eventually we see them transition to Mac if, you know, Cam doesn't look like the Cam that we once knew.
So, all right, I want to stick with that for a second. So coming up next, I'll tell you what I think is the biggest difference between the situation in Chicago and the one in New England here. Different sides of the same coin. We'll also get to one big announcement from an NFL franchise on what it's going to take to gain entrance into their stadium this fall. We'll get to all that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, you guys want to get into shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated, like maybe you walked into the hall and ate a piece of cake with your bare hands. And you got to get back on the right track. Make 5-Hour Energy Shots part of your lifestyle and get that energy boost that you need to get fit. Because you always know where to find 5-Hour Energy Shots. They're right by the cash register at darn near every convenience, drug, and grocery store nationwide. Or you can just go to 5hourenergy.com today. And when you get there, use promo code GOLIC. You'll get 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com. Promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. The Raiders making a big announcement that we'll tell you about next here. Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to a big announcement from an NFL team about what it's going to take to get into a stadium. But Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson here. Amber, I don't know if you saw this news. This I just saw courtesy of Darren Heitner on Twitter, a sports and entertainment lawyer, who tweeted out, Kayvon Thibodeau announced he has partnered with United Airlines for an NIL deal. This has to take the cake so far, right? Like, I know Bryce Young's got that, you know, close to seven figures of NIL money, but the image of the best defensive player in college football next to a jet is a pretty tough one to ignore.
And it's just that. It's an image of him in front of a United Express jet. That seems like a good one for a college kid. Yeah, these are the sorts of NIL deals that I think we expected day one. And frankly, day one of NIL, we got a lot of small time deals where, you know, it's a grand here, a couple grand there, that sort of thing. It wasn't like the big monster deals that we were talking about would be coming down the pipe for these stars in college football. And it wasn't the big corporations getting involved in the game early on with NIL. It was a lot of like local mom and pop type places to start things off. Well, now enter the Fortune 500 companies, right? Where now these big corporations have kind of maybe taken a back seat and let things play out for a matter of weeks here. And now we're going to start inking some of these deals with these young kids. So it's wild to see, and it was only a matter of time. And I feel like that was it. Like, if you have a deal, as part of that deal, Mike, you've got to have in that contract that you can just hop on any jet anytime, anywhere, right?
Got to. Like, you got to give me whatever the highest status on your airline is. I am now that status from day one here. Amber, the only logical next move for me on this, because you're right, the big corporations were kind of in wait-and-see mode. How does this play out? A private jet company has to sponsor an entire O-line now. The O-line have been dominating the NIL business so far here. This is a big blow struck by the D-line. We got to battle back somehow. I need one of these private jet companies to pony up and get the big
but
boys
the
on
the flight. Entire O-line, here's the problem
big jet.
With taking on that particular position is, that you would need a big jet. And private jets are really expensive. So we're not talking, I mean, I don't really know my PJs, but we're not talking some like little propeller plane here. We're talking like a G5 you would need to have in order to get that whole, I don't even know if that's big enough for an entire O-line. So that's the only problem with your theory there in terms of private jets for the O-line. If I'm a private jet company, I think I might start with like the wide receiving core or something. And then start wide outs, we'll go O-line later.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like the easy corollary with the defensive backs. You could go the no-fly zone, but actually the fly zone here. Our own beef, as usual, working against us in the offensive line room at times here. Not just when it comes to finding convenient sizes in store, also maybe on the NIL market. Now, Chinna Engelhardt Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Amber, in the NFL, we've got far more important news being doled out, especially along the lines of COVID-19. The Las Vegas Raiders now become the second team in the NFL. They joined the New Orleans Saints to require proof of a COVID-19 vaccination for fans to enter games, though there are some differences in the rules here for the Las Vegas Raiders. Unvaccinated fans will also be offered vaccinations on site, but will still be required to wear a mask during the game if they are unvaccinated. So, Amber, when you look at this decision by both of these teams, do you think this is specifically about these two organizations, or are we starting to see the beginning of a league-wide trend?
Well, I think also because these teams play indoors, I think that probably factors into this. I mean, it's these teams trying to protect their bottom line at the end of the day. All they're trying to do is protect their product. And the best way to protect your product and make sure you can maintain fans in the stands is to give yourself the best opportunity for that virus not to be transmitted in your stands, because otherwise it's going to end up being a wrap for everybody league-wide. And so it's smart that these organizations are saying, hey, the best opportunity we have here to keep everybody safe is to require vaccinations, or in the case of the Saints, you can also show proof of a negative PCR test within a certain amount of hours. And they're doing everything they can to just maintain that everybody inside the stadium either, you know, hopefully would not have COVID. I understand there are some breakthrough cases of COVID in terms of people being vaccinated, but it is not large numbers of breakthrough cases. And all you can try to do is minimize the risk. And you're hoping that maybe vaccinated people, even if they did have a breakthrough case, wouldn't be as likely to transmit it. And certainly wouldn't be as likely to transmit it to other vaccinated people. So you're creating an environment that's as safe as possible to try to ensure that you can continue the season at full capacity with fans in the stands. Because at the end of the day, we're all trying to get back to some sense of normalcy here. And these fans, or these teams, are trying to make money. And the best way to make money is to have fans in those stands, Mike.
It's to have fans in the stands. And I think just as much, Amber, it's to not be on the receiving end of some god-awful PR, right? Like, not too long ago, we saw a big move that quietly flew under the radar that down in New Orleans, in addition to the Saints being another one of these teams, both, by the way, for whatever it's worth, indoors, teams that play inside of dome stadiums here, but Jazz Fest in New Orleans, one of the bigger outdoor festivals that has big corporate sponsors that was postponed already till October, got shut down for that. They said out of an abundance of caution, they're not going to put people in that position, which, man, read the subtext. We don't want the bad PR if we're at the center of a super spreader. And I'm sure for NFL teams right now, they're thinking long and hard about, man, do we want the potential blowback? Yeah, we want to put fans in stands. Yeah, we've got all that revenue that we've heard about. Why the salary cap's lower this year, getting recouped. But man, on the other side of that, if you're the reason there's a bunch of positive cases in your area and you got to look at, I don't know, the local government officials or just in general the coverage you get in the media, Amber, there isn't an owner in the world that's going to sign up for that kind of negative PR in a year where they're trying to get their margins back to where they like.
Yeah, harming your community is not the PR game that anybody wants to be in, but particularly NFL teams. So you're absolutely right. that plays into this. And that's another reason that they're trying to make it as safe as possible. Like, people will sit here and they'll knock on things and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, it's still not 1,000% safe. And it's like, all right, but the idea is to make it as safe as we possibly can. Because then at least if you're the Saints or you're the Raiders, you can say we did everything we could to try to create the safest environment possible. And that's what they're trying to do.
And God forbid we just talk about the normal human health and safety part of this, but we know the law that governs the land here, and it's a lot of money and it's a lot of bottom line being dollars and cents. So the Raiders make that announcement. The Raiders and the Saints, now the only two teams in the NFL that will require proof of a COVID-19 vaccination, or in the Saints' case, proof of a negative PCR COVID test within 72 hours of heading to the game. Coming up next, though, we got a birthday being celebrated around here. We'll do it the only way we know how, next here on Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
The beginning of the season, oh man, I want to be in that moment. Ooh. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Syracuse Orange are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Know what it is. Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Show officially turns 1 year old today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson, kind enough to hang out with us on the anniversary day here. And Amber, I also like have to apologize because you came in here today expecting to do a competent radio show, and instead you had to vamp while I drooled all over myself hand-eating cake. So.
All right, Roddy, so... Competent might be overstating it. It's been a fun radio show, though. Is this an anniversary or a birthday? Because I feel like you've been using the two interchangeably. It's your 1 year anniversary, or is the show turn one because it's the birthday of the show?
I guess, like, technically it would be Chanay and I's 1 year show anniversary, but it would be the show as, like, we all birthed the show. You know, there's the gestation period, and then the show was born.
Yeah, I know how childbearing works.
I'm pretty bad with that process here. So either way, we've been doing this show for 1 year, and so we thought it'd be fun to look back on a couple of the moments from early on in the show here, because we've been a lot's happened. We had everything that went on inside the NBA and WNBA bubbles, an entire football season that took place largely without fans here. The last year has been absolutely insane, but we managed to work some fun stuff in there, like going back to the beginning when Chinua Igwumike, who you've heard on this show here, she's not a woman that cries very often, not shedding a lot of thug tears around here, unless you can surprise her with her sister, NECA, the way that we did on our first show. Take a listen. We thought, one, Igwumike is good, two might be better. So joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, you guys might know her as WNBA champion,
what?
Former league MVP, NECA Igwumike, joining us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance
what?
Line. Most importantly, big sister of our very own Chanay. NECA, how are you?
What?
Hello. I'm NECA. Doing well, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, literally, I never cried. I'm going to cry.
I was going to say, Chanay and NECA's father, Pete, flew out to L.A. just to be with Chanay for their first show. We got tears here on Chanay and Golic Jr. So, NECA, you are the president of the WNBA. You are a big sister. And you guys get to play each other. You guys are teammates on the L.A. Sparks. Obviously, Chanay is not inside the bubble. So, I got to ask you, any advice for going to work with your sister like you guys get to do now as teammates?
You know what? Just make sure that you can get a word in. That's all. That's all I got to say.
We've been
but no, but, but to be real, though, like, I just wanted to say, Chanay, we're very proud of you. We know how much you work to get to this point. You're representing not just our family, but so many people out there that, you know, that maybe didn't think they could do something like this. And so it's just really great to be able to be on your first show.
Oh, my gosh. NECA texted me during the break, and I was like, "What?" She basically was probably planning the surprise thing. Like, what is going on? Trying to act like she didn't know. Oh, my gosh. Thanks, NECA.
I was like, oh, my God, I was like, dang it, I missed you.
The perfect setup in all of this. So there was the sweet version of this, but much like Sour Patch Kids, first were sweet and then were jerks. Here was me breaking down completely in front of the microphone when I found out one of Jason Fitz's old nicknames.
You know, we've been talking about the worst nicknames, and have you got yourself together? Because I know you've made up a nickname for a friend. I don't know if you're going to ever debut it. My guy is really, he's lost it. He hasn't been able to stop. Yo, Junior is crying. Junior is crying right now. What are your, okay, so first let me give you guys context. On the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, he still can't get himself together. We've been asking everyone, what's the worst nickname you've had? Mine, I say, is Chi-Chi, and I love that name. People call me Chi-Chi, like, pass the ball, H-E. You know, I like that. Junior's was Puddin, and that's why I call him Puddin. I think we've got, what was yours, Devin?
The gentle
one. I was the gentle one in offensive line.
And Cliff, you were?
It's either Cliffy or the Bull.
The Bull is cool, though. And I think the guys have been acting up in the break, because I heard the nickname that you attributed to someone, and that was foul, for no better way. Are you okay? Puddin, are you okay?
I don't know what hit me about that. So, listen, we all love Jason Fitz around here. He's so
here we go.
He's so kind to come in down here and fill in for us halfway through the show a lot of times. You hear him on Spain and Fitz with Sarah Spain to the
he's
north
gonna do
of
it.
Us every day. And I can't even say the nickname, because you all know what Fitz rhymes with that might be a nickname that's sort of mean-spirited. And I don't know why the simplicity, like, sometimes it's just the simplicity that just strikes you.
Listen, he texted us just now, and, you know, you can use your imagination on what he said, but he did follow up text. He said he never pooped his pants. That's
yeah.
All I'm gonna
all
say.
Right. So I gotta say, we got to address the elephant in the room. We all figured at some point, like, Jason had to have pooped his pants to earn that nickname. And the thought of, like, a young fiddle carrying Jason Fitz with poopy pants just completely destroyed me on so many levels. Like, I'm still getting my composure back. I'm out of breath. I'm so sorry for just derailing the show. It's totally unprofessional. We're getting ready to talk about college football and COVID cases, and I just can't stop thinking about Jason Fitz pooping
his
pants.
Get yourself together. I'll hold it down for like 20 seconds as you breathe and try to like wipe your eyes.
No,
from
no,
the
I'm,
tears.
Good.
Like,
I'm good. I'm good. America needs to see my tears on ESPN Plus. So America got to see my tears again on ESPN Plus here at Shanae and Golic Jr. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And Amber, I'm transported back to the moment all over again. I'm just imagining Jason Fitz with his little backpack, his little fiddle, walking into his first day at Juilliard full of poopy pants, and them giving him one of the meaner nicknames on earth.
I do like how both you and Shanae, your most memorable moments on this show, are you both crying? But she's crying because she's so touched by a family member, and you're crying because you have the sense of humor of a kindergartner.
Yeah, God, again, the duality of this show continues to rear its head today, Amber, and you've had to witness it in all of its forms. Like, Chanae comes on with us earlier and talks about her team's got a chart with her body on it to make sure she's doing right and getting healthy to go back and play in a WNBA season, and I'm over here nursing a back muscle that I pulled during a light jog this morning and then almost choked on the cake I was eating with my bare hands on air, crying about Jason Fitz having a poop-related nickname.
And that is why this show has made it a year, and there will be many more.
It is simultaneously why this show has made it a year, and also why I am surprised the show has made it a year here. So,
it's the best kind of radio.
Oh, my God. Thank you to everyone who has been along for the ride with us for this year. We promise to try and do better than that, but listen, I don't like to make promises I can't keep, so maybe I shouldn't go that far. So, we'll keep bringing it to you the only way we know how, coated in icing and full of tears. And in that spirit, coming up next, as we head back to something resembling more normalcy here, we've got cutdown day going on in the NFL. I will give you the worst cutdown story I've heard of recent memory, and as we look at some of the upcoming rule changes for the 2021 NFL season, one rule so lame has risen above the rest, and now we have got a quote from someone involved in the process who answers the question, who the hell asked the NFL players to stop taunting? We'll answer it next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Shanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.